Im Namen des Vaters, der Filii, jetzt bitte des Sancti. Amen. Well, I'm wearing red today in honor of the martyrs whom we celebrate, King Saint Canute, the commemorated saint, and then Saints Maris, Martha, Audax, and Abacus. And those four was actually a holy family. Maris and Martha were the parents, and Audax and Abacus were the children, sons. So let's see, and then I'll be speaking a little bit about these two saints, but then mostly about Saint Anthony of the Desert, father of all monks, father of Western monasticism, a very great saint. His feast day was this past Sunday, the 17th, and I can't pass by his feast and not say something. So we have to talk about Saint Anthony. So we'll do that later. So King Canute, 1042 to 1086. And he was a king of Denmark and the first king of Denmark to become a saint. And he was very generous to the church, spent a lot of time strengthening, we could say, the power of the church, the ecclesiastics, inviting in monks and priests and so on. He even, at one point, mounted an expedition to drive out William the Conqueror from England after he'd seen that. He saw them at that being as unjust. But that he never sailed on an expedition, but that showed kind of his disposition or temperament. And he was actually met his end in 1086. There was an uprising against him, and he was killed while kneeling at the altar just after having gone to confession. So I guess if you're going to go, that's not a bad way to be killed. So considered a martyr. And as I mentioned, the first Danish monarch to be a saint. And there's actually many miracles happened at his grave afterwards. For the that holy family today, the entire husband, wife, and two sons, martyr for the faith, Saint Maris was originally actually a Persian. And he was a Persian converted there with his whole family. And he gave away all of his wealth and goods to the poor. And then he brought his family to Rome to visit the tombs of the apostles. And when they arrived, there was a persecution at that time. This was about the year 270. And so there were all these Catholics had been apprehended and being arrested and jailed and so on. And a number of them had been sentenced or rather placed in an amphitheater. And then they were shot with arrows and then burned. Any survivors. So St. Maris and his wife Martha, his two sons Audax and Abacus, went there to the amphitheater and they collected the remains. And they gave them a proper burial, showing them the respect, for which act they themselves were apprehended and they refused to deny the faith. They were tortured. And then the father and the two sons were beheaded. And then the mother, Martha, she was drowned. So a great witness to the faith by this family. None of them were afraid. Well, I mean, if they were afraid, they overcame it with that boldness of Christ. And then they were rewarded in that their own remains, their bodies, were collected and then given a burial in the catacombs. So we see how the saints take care of each other. So a great example from our martyrs for today. But then St. Anthony of the Desert, again, the father of Western monasticism. I mean, it had been going on for hundreds of years, right? Men wanting to give their lives to Christ, not with their blood, but with their toil, with their time, with everything they had, everything they give over to Christ. And St. Anthony was one of the first to do this by going out into the wilderness. And as we'll see, he didn't know about Paul the Hermit. He would meet him later. But one of the very first to begin living in this manner of life. He was born to wealthy parents, and this is about the year 251, and they died when he was a young man, and so he had this wealth, great wealth, and he was in church, and he heard that passage from the gospel, go sell what you have and give to the poor, right, that admonition of Christ to the rich young man, and St. Anthony had this flash of insight, I'm the rich young man, and God is telling me to do this. So he did. From that very day, he got up, he made provisions for his sister, his one sister, he gave the rest of his wealth away, and he went to live outside the city. And this is not too uncommon at the time, ascetics, holy men living kind of on the outskirts, and he found an old hermit to you know, to kind of apprentice himself to. And he lived in this manner for a few years, 15 years, as a matter of fact. And then he went and decided that, you know, we say, like, we should not consider ourselves living in this earth, but passing through this earth. Our true home is in heaven. Our true life is in heaven. And St. Anthony, as a young man, about 30, maybe 35, decides that he's going to die to himself. He's going to die to this world as literally as possible. So he goes and lives in a sepulcher. He finds a grave and walls himself up in a tomb, and he's got a little hole in the wall, and then somebody comes and brings him some bread and water every week. And he lives that way for quite some time, a year or so. I'm not too sure on the timeline, but I mean, imagine that, living in the dark, living in a tomb on the bare ground. Incredible. So Satan tries to tempt him with all kinds of things, you know, the good he could have done in the world with his wealth, boredom, impure temptations. He gets them all. He doesn't succumb to any of them. And Satan is so furious that God permits the devil to actually physically beat St. Anthony. And so the next week when his friend came to bring his provisions, there was no answer. He thought he must have died. So they broke down the wall. They found St. Anthony. They took him to a church to recover. And he said, upon recovering, he addressed the devil. And he says, "Aha, behold, I am still here. Do all that you will to me. You will never separate me from Christ." So quite the faith of St. Anthony there, and the determination. Well, he decides he's going to go further still into the wilderness. He finds an old fort, and he walls himself up again. We're finding a pattern here, I guess. And he receives bread twice a year. He gets a six-month supply of bread, and that's what he lives on. Imagine how hard and stale that would be. And people came to him for advice, which he gave through a hole in the wall. And he lived in that fort for 20 years, giving advice, receiving bread twice a year. His fame was spreading. And after that amount of time, so many others had come and were living a similar way of life. They asked him to come out and found monasteries for them, to give them a rule of life. So St. Anthony concedes, and nobody has seen him in 20 years. He's been behind a wall for two decades. And when he comes out, people are expecting him to be emaciated, to be hollow, to be somewhat like socially distant, as we would say these days. And he's affable, he's friendly, he looks healthy, nothing like what they expected. So quite the, I guess, maybe the testament to God's grace, but also what a cheerful disposition can do for us even physically, right? We can undergo great hardships, great physical austerities, but when we do so with a cheerful heart, we benefit. Our whole body benefits. So he comes out, and he is advising these monks, founding monasteries, and among his disciples would be St. Macarius, whom we've heard of recently, Macarius the Elder. He became a famous stylite. And the monks that began accumulating in these monasteries remarked at how austere a life so many of them were living with all their fastings, their prayers, their all-night vigils. And Anthony said to them with sadness, this is what kind of one of his famous prophecies, "There will come a time in the future when monks will live in cities and eat dainties at tables. Monks will not be able to fast one day as we do continually. And yet there will still be those who would have the spirit of true perfection, but they will have to be much stronger, for their virtue must survive amidst the contagion of bad example and luxury." Quite the prophetic words from St. Anthony. And a young monk asked him why this would be so. Why would the monks of the future be so weak? And St. Anthony replied, "It is easy for us to do these things because the devil is bound. But in these later times, men will have to fight Satan unchained." And that's not just the monks, that's all of us. The unbinding of Satan, which we have from other prophecies as well. The Fatima, for example. So quite the dire prophecy from St. Anthony. And that would, I would say, maybe serve to give us some hope in that if we feel like things are hopeless or feel overwhelmed, you know, we have it from the saints. We are fighting Satan unchained, and that is not easy. Now, what does that mean? We excuse ourselves? No, we try harder. If we fight Satan unchained, then therefore we have to rely on God even more. I have recourse in prayer. So he continued doing this, St. Anthony, founded several monasteries, and he again retired to a distant place. He wanted that solitude. And this is the proof. This is a great example of St. Anthony in that when he went to get away from people, He tried to find the most remote location he could, and then he plants and cultivates a garden and is growing these little vegetables and food. Not that he himself would ever eat it. He didn't eat from that garden, but he wanted to have something nice to give to visitors whom he knew would follow him. Now that's charity, right? Is it getting, wanting to get away from people, but knowing they're going to follow you, and instead of being angry at them, he makes, you know, builds a, grows a garden so he can be hospitable when they come, right? That is the combination of virtues that is a sign of true sanctity. Many, many people fancy themselves to be saints or ascetics or mystics as long as nobody else is around. Or if the people who are around are there when they want them, how they want them, and they say the right things. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're so holy. Oh, you're a mystic. That's wonderful. Yeah, when people around them, when they don't want them to be there, when I just wish you'd go away and leave me alone, and they're like, you know, some saint you are, right? That's when your true piety comes out, great or little. So it is the combination of opposites, those people who don't want to be around people, but they're still the friendliest and the most kind. On the contrary, right, you have those people who are very kind and they're wonderful and they're generous. They don't mind people at all, but it's very, very hard for them to spend time in prayer, time alone with God. You have to be able to combine those opposites, and that's always the sign of true sanctity. So don't be fooled, right? Don't be fooled by one side of somebody. We need to look at the whole thing. That's why God is a just judge, because we can't see all these sides. And, you know, we wouldn't have the life of St. Anthony if it weren't for St. Athanasius, right? A bishop who heard about him and wrote the life of St. Anthony. And that helped to spread not just devotion to him, but also a devotion to the monastic way of life. So that was much later, about 100 years later, Athanasius would write about St. Anthony. But in the time of St. Anthony's life, the emperor wrote to him. The emperor wrote a letter to St. Anthony, and everybody was impressed. The emperor himself wrote to you. And Anthony's like, basically, whatever, he wants something from me, right? And it was true. The emperor knew of the influence of St. Anthony, and he was hoping to get him on his side. And Anthony just TCs right through this. And again, that's that proof of sanctity. Is, you know, a saint is not impressed by anybody except God. He's not impressed by anything except virtue. So Anthony lives in this manner. He finally dies in the year 356 at the age of 105. And to the end, he never relaxed his disciplines or austerities. And the severity of his penances were matched only by the warmth of his kindness and his charity. So that is the life of St. Anthony, a great saint in the church. And oftentimes, all we need is an example. And God gives us these men, and we should be careful. The church says the penances of these desert fathers, these ancient fathers, is given more for admiration than imitation, right? We can't live like this. We can't do these hard penances, but we can imitate their love, their charity, and their balance in that life. Solitude, but also hospitality. So let's look for that in every area, every virtue. We need that balance. But let us ask God for his grace, and let's pray to the saints for their intercession. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.